Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We have Elijah Campbell over there hitting the switches, making this thing happen. Shout out to each of you for tuning in. And wow, the Titans are 3-2 after a victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. I was going to say thrilling victory, but I'm not sure that we'll call it that. But a win is a win is a win.
Most 37, wins are
thrilling. 37-19 was the result. So we'll get into that. Get into a little preview of this Buffalo Bills-Tennessee Titans matchup on Monday Night Football. We have my ESPN NFL Nation teammate, Elena Getzenberg, coming on to talk a little shop. She covers the Buffalo Bills, so we'll get that. And, of course, we have Forever Titans receiver Chris Sanders, run TMC. So definitely buckle up, lace up your boots. We're about to get into it. And I guess the best way to do this is just start right off just looking at this Jaguars game. And I, you know, there's a lot to kind of pick apart about this game. I think, you know, there are some frustrating things, specifically the lack of tackling, the lack of gap discipline. You had the 58-yarder that James Robinson had, and Rashawn Evans, he, you know, shot the wrong gap and it opened up one. And that's one of the things that Mike Vrabel always says, you know, wall, that's the initial part of being able to stop the run, and that wall wasn't created. There was a gap, a crease, and Robinson was off and running. Good job by Kevin Byard to track him down and tackle him to save the touchdown. But, you know, this is something that kept them from being able to shut the door initially. Elijah Molden, really good play, forced fumble. He put his helmet right on the ball, popped it out, and Kevin Byard picked it up, returned it for a touchdown. But in that very next drive, the Jaguars got five plays, 75 yards, 2 minutes, 39 seconds. They're right back into it. But, of course, the Jaguars do what the Jaguars do. They missed the extra point, and it was 7-6. I just think that was a really good opportunity to stop them a three and out. Offense finally get on the field, drive down the field. Now you're up 14-0. And I'll put it this way. We saw the results of when you let a team stick around. The previous week when the Titans and Jets played, there were opportunities to shut the door there. They didn't. However, in this game, you know, Jacksonville was able to stick around a bit as well, but the ball kind of bounced in the Titans' favor later on in the game. I think overall it's a good win. It's a division win, but there's a lot to be desired. A lot left to be desired. Where's the big play? We're not seeing any explosive plays, whether it's Derrick Henry breaking off a long run or Ryan Tannehill pushing the ball down the field anymore. You want to stretch things out a bit, and that will stop teams from stacking the box the way they do against Henry. Nevertheless, he still had 29 carries, 130, 3 touchdowns. This guy is continuing to assault the record books as far as rushing stats are concerned. If he stays on this pace, I mean, you're talking about 470 touches. That's an awful lot. Only five guys in the history of this game have touched the ball more than 400 times. So you're talking about that. You're talking about 2,176 yards rushing if he stays on this projection. That would break Eric Dickerson's record. Of course, it's in the 17-game season. It's a little bit different. But nevertheless, Derrick Henry is continuing to roll. Ty Downing's continued to dial up those plays to get Henry to football. I will say this, you're seeing better play design from Ty Downing as well. And I wrote about that for Monday, this past Monday, because I felt it was something to focus on and to highlight. You're looking at more bunch formation, switch release, and these type of things, allowing guys to get open. That, as a result, has caused the team to be better on third down. You're looking at better play design where – and there was a play – I put the next-gen dots on Twitter, and there was a play they had bunched to the left-hand side. It was a 3rd-and-6. They had bunched to the left-hand side. Jeremy McNichols. They were an empty. McNichols was the number one receiver, the furthest most outside on the right. He ran a drag route, and the bunch formation, you know, ran the opposite direction, and that opened everything up underneath. He caught the pass. He was able to scamper and, you know, get a big gain. And then you look at another one where they had stacked formation. Stacked receivers at the line on the left. A.J. Brown was going right to left on a crossing route. Jeff Swaim, of all people, was running a crosser from left to right, and he took the linebacker with him, opened up a huge, huge valley for A.J. Brown to work in, and Tannehill hit him, and he showed some acceleration going down the field. It was a 22-yard gain, and that actually set up Derrick Henry, one of his 1-yard touchdown runs. So you're seeing better play design. A wildcat, or as Buck Rising caught it, I thought it was pretty cool in the play, in the press box. He called it wild bat because Cam Batson was the player taking the snap. And you see Cam Batson able to do some things. That's creativity. You see him using motion. Todd Downing is using motion to get Josh Reynolds open in the flat. You see him using motion on the end of round to get Chester Rogers the football, then playing off of that by giving Henry the ball in the opposite direction a few plays later. The point that I'm trying to make is Todd Downing is now layering plays. And that is when you start to get into your groove as a play caller, when you're able to say, okay, I'm going to show you this, show you this, show you this, and then show you this and do that. And that's what you're starting to see. And if this offense can come alive, I mean, because they were at 23 points a game. That's down from 30 points entering this past week's game. If this offense could come alive, now you got something cooking. And there's no better week for this offense to come alive than this week against the Buffalo Bills. But one of the things that we mentioned was the inability to push the football down the field. It's not going to get any easier this week. The Buffalo Bills, this secondary has done an awesome job, and it's not just this year. They've been this way for a while now with those safeties that they have back there. But when you look at teams allowing 20 yards or more passing plays, the Bills have allowed the least in the league, 6. Oh, you want more explosives? 40 yards or more? The Bills have only allowed 1. That's second only, ironically, Dean Pease and his Falcons. They've allowed 0, but the Bills are tied with the Texans, the Houston Texans, wow, the Jets, Cardinals, and Steelers with only having allowed 1 passing play of 40 yards or more. It all comes down to the safeties. So that's why when we got to talk to Ryan Tannehill, I asked him directly about those safeties and why it's so hard to push the ball down the field against the Bills.
Their safeties are really good. They've played together for a long time. Both very active, physical, smart players. They have a great feel for what they're doing defensively. They kind of set the tone. And then they're playmakers. So definitely you have to be aware of where those guys are at.
The Bills have also just collectively, you look at this team defense. I mean, they've allowed only 9 touchdowns. Or excuse me, it's actually even better than that. It's 5 touchdowns. They've only allowed 5 touchdowns, which is second only to the Jets as far as the least amount of touchdowns. Oh, you want turnovers? They will create turnovers as well. Let's look here. There, Elijah, you have a stat on their turnover, aren't they?
Yes. In terms of percentage of offensive drives ending in a turnover, they lead the league in that. Oh, and the Bills are also the only team in the NFL to be top 5 in that stat. Red zone defense, mm-hmm, in terms of percentage of drives ending in a touchdown.
Yeah.
Third down defense, fourth down defense, and of course the turnovers, yeah, as well.
The turnovers was a good point.
Now, top 5 in all of them.
They're number 1 in red zone defense, 35.7%. So you thought it was tough against the Jets. It's going to be tough this week. The Jets are now at 42.8. At that time, they were at 35% as well. But, I mean, the Bills, they're tied with the Saints for the best red zone defense. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be a huge test. And you look at their personnel, whether it's Tre'Davious White, one of the best corners in the game, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, that safety tandem that Ryan Tannehill talked about. I mean, you got guys like Ed Oliver, who, you know, up front just wrecks havoc. Gregory Rousseau, man, I mean, Jerry Hughes. You got the linebackers, Tremaine Edmonds, and if Matt Milano play, like, they are solid on every level. And a part of being solid on every level, one of the products of that is really good run defense. Now, their run defense is, I want to say, they're third in the NFL, giving up only 75 yards per game. So now you have two things clashing heads, right? You got the Bills, their run defense, and Derrick Henry and the Titans' run offense. That's going to be an interesting match. So naturally, we had to ask Mike Vrabel what his thoughts were on Buffalo's run defense. Here's what Coach Vrabel had to say.
They play sound. They play fast. Good tacklers. Great effort. Good fundamentals. You know, a lot of respect for what Sean and that staff has done. It's also a group that's been together for a while. Ron, I think, at the back end. You know, you can look at the safeties and that group, and they've got a nickel that tackles and triggers and blitzes. The safeties are good blitzers. The linebackers have all, you know, they've been together. The front's a little different with some new bodies in there, but they're young and athletic, and Oliver is a disruptor. And they play a lot of guys up front.
And that nickel guy that – Coach Vrabel was talking about, that's Teron Johnson. He actually signed a 3-year deal. Yeah. They're solid just pretty much everywhere. So this is no game to not be on your best. That's the only way they're going to win. Now, here's the thing. One of the ultimate neutralizers in these type of games is turnovers. And just to get back to your stat about the turnovers, and then to look at this Titans team who has, you know, struggled to get turnovers as well as to keep from doing it, that could be a factor. That could be a factor. But the beauty of all this is that's why you play the game. Things just happen to play out certain ways. And I think one thing that the Titans have in their favor is just this team, when it gets muddy, when it gets just murky, they rise to the occasion. I wouldn't be surprised if they beat the Bills. Now, I'm not predicting it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Buffalo. Now, if they beat Buffalo, and then you come back, you got this game against the Chiefs, then the Colts, this is going to be a really interesting next couple games. Because, I mean, this is the murderer's row part of their schedule, right? You're looking at the Rams in here, too. I mean, well, they go to the Rams. When I say in here, I'm talking about their schedule. It could go a few different ways. So we'll see how this team just is able to rise to the occasion on Monday Night Football. I got to talk to Jeffrey Simmons about that, and he was excited. He said he approaches every game like it's an opportunity to showcase, but he's definitely excited to play in front of everybody on primetime football. And he's another one. I think he may not be the all-pro that we thought he was going to be coming into this year, but I still think he's playing excellent football. And the camera, it doesn't lie. Eye in the sky doesn't lie. So we'll keep focused on Jeffrey Simmons. Christian Fulton, that's something to monitor this week. He didn't practice on Wednesday. Julio Jones did come back on Wednesday. So yeah, Julio Jones and A.J. Brown in practice. Those are positive things because obviously you want to be at full power. And you know, when you look at this Bills defense, right? You know, if they put that stress on those guys on the outside, that corner, well, Levi Wallace is going to have a matchup one way or the other, whether it's Julio Jones or A.J. Brown. And that's a direction I think the Titans are going to need to go. So we'll see what happens there. We're going to go ahead and go to this break. But before we do, let me tell you, Monday, I was at the Titans facility, and my guys took care of me, man. My guys took care. I had a flat tire, and I was able to, you know, I got my tire changed. I had a donut on, and then I went to the Jaguars game, came back, and my guys, Ian and Kane, and they were like, hey, look, man, we're going to get you set up. We got you Monday. So while Mike Vrabel, or just before Coach Vrabel was giving his press conference, they came, changed my tires right there on the spot, Elijah. Right there on the spot, lifted it up, took them off, boom, and they cleaned them. They cleaned the rims and everything, man. They torqued the tire. They did the whole nine. So shout out to Freedom Tire Guys. You'll hear their commercial over this next break, but let me go ahead and give my personal testament to what they do, man. FreedomTireGuys.com, they're Nashville's premier tire service. So definitely make sure you check them out. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Yes, yes. Back in the building, talking with TD, coming back from the break. You hear the music, you heard the intro, you know what time it is. Time for Run TMC. Chris Sanders, let's get you that introduction as the music, the lights dim. And now, starting for your Los Angeles Lakers at point guard, number one.
Oh, my goodness.
Wes Matthews.
Oh, man. Hey, I was going to hit you up with old school, but I might even go back older school, where I'm from, Denver, Colorado. And now, starting for your Denver Nuggets, stands at a 6'1" with tight shorts on. T.R. Dunn.
Okay, just for that, I'm going to go back. And now.
Oh, you too?
And now, starting at shooting guard for your Los Angeles Lakers, number 21. Michael Cooper.
And now, starting for the Houston Rockets, Sam Cassell.
It's over.
Throw the towel, Rock.
Throw the damn towel.
What's up, man? How you doing, bro? What's going on with them Titans, man? What they going to do this week, man?
Well, I tell you what, Julio Jones was back today.
Oh, how'd he look, man?
Well, we got to see him during individual period, and he looked pretty good working through the drills. No sleeve or anything on his leg. Mm-hmm. He accelerated, decelerated. Those are some of the things that you want to see. So I would say he looked good.
But what do you think the problem is? I mean, if you're seeing him, you know, running, and you're seeing him do the things and then explosive, then, you know, why did he sit out last week, and what's the difference between last week and this week?
Well, truth be told, he did run some sprints and things last week. So
okay.
I'm not sure whether or not he was, like, ready to go last week, and it was just being precautionary. But you know, with these hamstrings, you have to be very careful. And when you're a guy like Julio Jones, you put so much torque on it and everything.
Yep.
I think you have to be extra careful. So it was just a precautionary thing, in my opinion. But I think he will be good to go. We'll see, you know, how this injury report shapes up throughout the week. But I think there's a good chance he plays.
This game is going to be physical, dude. Straight up. This game is going to be straight up physical.
Yes.
I can't wait, because you better believe. I mean, look at last year when the Buffalo Bills came in. The Tennessee Titans had a disadvantage. They had like 12 or 13 guys out with COVID in the net, you know, the fans and people like, there's no possible way that the Tennessee Titans could win. They beat the brakes off of the Bills. They were physical. That stiff arm by Derrick Henry. All those things that they had to simmer on for about a year. You don't think this team is going to come in upset and want to prove a point that they're the best team in the NFL?
Absolutely. I think they're coming in with a chip on their shoulder, not only because of that game, but just overall. I mean, they're coming off of beating the Chiefs. They feel like they're the class of the AFC now, and they're going to want to maintain that mantle, right? Stay where they are on that pedestal.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, you're right, man. I mean, I think that, you know, on offense, you know, we know this. Everybody knows the glaring thing that's kind of going on with them is, you know, the offensive line. The offensive line's got to protect. And everybody knows that, you know, Ty Sombrero, I can't pronounce his name right, but, you know, he retired. So if somebody gets hurt, who's going to back up that right tackle? I mean, all that stuff is going on. And, you know, everything's against the Titans. You know, Julio Jones might not play and all these things. But I think that this is where the Tennessee Titans are at their best, is when their back is against the wall. So I know everybody's counting the Tennessee Titans out and the media saying there's no possible way. And, you know, the Bills just, you know, beat Kansas City in Kansas City, and they're saying the Titans have no way. But this is how Mike Vrabel loves it, man.
Yeah.
He loves that they're back against the wall. He loves when people say they can't make it because he's built for that.
Yeah, and they love that us against the world type of thing. Yeah. And ironically, it's coming against the Bills. You know, I think of Chris Berman. You know, when he says nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, he's always say that on NFL Countdown. And here it is. This is a team that is being asked to circle the wagons, being commanded to circle the wagons. But I want to get into this rushing attack because what Derrick Henry is doing is just it's ridiculous, right? He's ripped off four straight 100-yard rushing games. I mean, and with those, you're talking about at least two touchdowns in those. The last time someone had multiple games like that, with 100 rushing yards and three touchdowns, it was Jim Brown in 1958, the last time someone had multiple games through the first five games of the season. So what we're seeing here is just different. It's obviously different, but the thing is he's starting off early. You know, last year, you know, he's ahead of last year's pace. I think it's about like 70 yards. So, I mean, you look at the averages and how everything charts out, he's on pace to get another 2,000-yard rushing season, but this Buffalo Bills defense is allowing 75 yards per game. They're the third best in the league. Are there any things that stand out? I have one thing in particular for me that stands out, and I'll start off with it, and that's Tremaine Evans, Edmonds, number 49. And for me, you know, when I watch him, he has that lateral pursuit ability. Like, he'll track stuff down really well, but he's just as big as Derrick Henry, right? So now you're in a situation where it's not a, hey, man, like, you know, I could just simply overpower you and push you down to the ground, even if you have that angle, you know what I mean? So that's one of the things that stands out. And those guys up front are pretty good. But for you, when you look at their run defense, what stands out?
I mean, they're physical, and they pursued. I mean, they pursued a quarterback. I mean, if you look at last week when they played the Kansas City Chiefs, they were all on Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes couldn't even really go through his progression, go to the second and third receiver because there were so many guys that were on him. I mean, I know you discussed and brought up Edmonds' name, but the guy that I like is Greg. Is it Russo? Is that how you pronounce it?
Greg Russo, coming on the outside.
Russo.
Yeah.
Greg Russo, I mean, he's leading the sacks. He's got three sacks. I mean, he's got that bend, and he can actually get to the quarterback. So, you know, I think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter because if you look at Henry, Henry gets better as the game goes on. I know he starts off slow, and, you know, he'll have – it's the weirdest thing. He'll have, like, 10 carries for, like, 31 yards going into halftime, and then all of a sudden he ends up with 185 yards is because the defense is getting tired, and he's getting better. So even though this is a good run-stop defense, they're physical, they have great instincts, they pursue to the ball, they have 6 and 7 hats to the ball, all that thing is great. But when you get to the fourth quarter and somebody's running to your lips that's 6'3", 6'4", 250 pounds, and has got a stiff arm that's going to break your back, I mean, that's totally different. So you look at last year when they played him. I mean, Henry got better and better and better and better because you're not going to tackle that dude when it's the fourth quarter now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's so much tougher. And it's almost like teams, like, they get so hyped up to – you know, go against them, and in the first half, the first quarter especially, like, they kind of, like, just empty the clip, you know, and you're stuck later in the game without the bullets that are necessary to be able to withstand, you know, the continue. That's the other. It's almost like the ocean, right? Like continuing to brush against the shore. It just they keep coming and coming and coming with the rushing attack, and the patience is there to keep just sticking with it. Now, you look at last year when they played, Henry had 19 carries for 57 yards, but two touchdowns, you know.
Right.
So, and it was a 42-16 win for the Titans. But Henry kind of got bottled up last year, but I would admit they got away from it and they threw the ball a lot.
Yeah, if you look at their front four with the Buffalo Bills, they really don't have to bring another safety down is because they're putting so much pressure and they're stopping the running game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if the Tennessee Titans just consistently be patient and not get frustrated and understand that a punt is okay and get good field position, because that's what they did kind of last year. I can't remember. I think they got the ball first, and then Buffalo got the ball, but then they threw an interception. And that's what kind of changed the momentum of the game and got on the horse first. So I just think if the Tennessee Titans do that and not panic and stay in front of the chains, not have a second and 25 or a third and 15, if they can keep the chains moving, be second and 4, no, third and 3, things like that, then you have so many choices as opposed to just running, and then you can also base it off the pass also.
Yeah, I mean, this thing could get ugly quickly, though. And it just we've talked about Stephon Diggs in the past. You know how I feel about him, and you have Josh Allen together with him. That, it could get ugly quickly.
Yeah. I like Emmanuel Sanders.
Yes.
Though. I mean, you know, he's been in the league for, like, what, 645 years, X squared? I mean, he's been in the league for a long time. I think he was with the Saints last year.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, this guy's a veteran. He knows it. And just watching what he did last week, he's still got some speed now. So we're gonna definitely have to cover. So, you know, we just got to go out there and be physical and hit them in the mouth first. I know Jared always laughs at me about this, about the coin toss, but I'm telling you, the coin toss is so important this week because it all deals with momentum and getting a fast start.
Well, it's a lot of – unless you've actually been on a field and could feel momentum and what it does, it is difficult to understand it. So, I mean, I would imagine that's probably why he laughs at it. But, yo, momentum is a very real thing, man. It's very real, and you could feel it. And even just being in the stadium, you could feel it shift. So that is a good point there. Let's just spin it right back to the Jaguars real quick and just some of your takeaways from that. We're not seeing a breakaway run from Derrick Henry, but it's just a steady onslaught, as I mentioned before. But what do you take away from that Jaguars game?
We were supposed to do that. I just wish that we'd have played a little better, especially on the offensive line. The offensive line's consistently struggling on pass pro, and just watching the hits that Tannehill keeps taking over and over, we got to make sure he can sustain 17 games if it's going to be like that. But just overall, I mean, we just made the plays that we need to make. I mean, with the defense, got 2 turnovers, 1 by Byard on interception and a scoop and score by Byard. So they're getting turnovers, and also they're a defense that bends that don't break. I mean, I know that situation where Trevor Lawrence, you know, supposedly had a touchdown, but they said it was at the 1-yard line, and then they stop him on 4th down. Mm-hmm. That's a huge momentum changer. Yeah. So it's a defense that may not be great, but they're still making the plays that are necessary. And there's 2 guys I really want to talk about. Harold Landry's on a totally different level right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, last week he had 2 sacks. He's flying around. He's getting pressure on the quarterback all day long. And then a guy that we didn't really talk about last year but had the potential to be great is David Long Jr. That dude had 10 tackles last week. The week before, he had a whole bunch of tackles. So he's flying around. He's got great instincts. He's physical. And every time you look up, he's around the ball. So even though, you know, it didn't feel like they won pretty, but it still was beautiful, just like both people said.
Right, yeah, and that's one of the things you said, that it's a lot easier to work things out after a win. You know what I mean? That's an excellent point. So they got the W. That's what they needed, and now you spin it forward to the Bills game, and it's Monday Night Football. It's prime time. This is the team right now that they're the ones to beat in the AFC. Yep. So it's a good measuring point for the Titans to see where they are. We'll see just exactly how this pans out. Do you have a prediction?
I don't know. I just think that this is how I feel. And the Tennessee Titans are built for this, and it starts with the head coach. Everybody says there's no way. They said that the Buffalo Bills are number 1 team in the AFC. They said the Tennessee Titans didn't play well. The defense is all these bad things are against them. But I think we're going to see a complete game by the Tennessee Titans. And the reason why I say this is because they're built for this. So my score is going to be Tennessee Titans 28, the Buffalo Bills 21.
Close game there. There you have it. Yeah. Chris, I appreciate you. We'll definitely talk before the game. Obviously, our weekly check-in from the field.
Appreciate you, Doc.
For sure.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You hear the music, Buffalo Soldier. It's only right we bring our next guest in that way because she covers the Buffalo Bills. And this is a first-time appearance for my new teammate, ESPN NFL Nation Buffalo Bills reporter, Elena Getzenberg. Elena, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on. Hope you're doing okay.
Oh, yeah. Every day is a good day. You already know that. So definitely appreciate you coming on. And I guess let's get right into it. I mean, this is a team that's coming off of a big-time win against the Chiefs. What's the vibe been like just as far as how these guys have handled the success leading up to this game and after that one as well?
Yeah, so, you know, there's the public mentality of going into the Chiefs game this past weekend of every game is the same,
right.
One at a time. But I think, you know, they started to kind of start admitting, you know, this Chiefs one meant a little bit more. I don't know how it wouldn't after losing to that team in that stadium in the AFC Championship. It means a little more. And so I think it's a very confident team, and it's an even more confident team coming out of that game. I think that was a big-time win, and I don't think anyone who watched that game would feel differently. But I also think this is a team that realizes it's the regular season, and they have goals that are way past that. So I think they'll be ready to go for Monday.
Do they really just absolutely follow Josh Allen like as the leader? Because I mean, I ask that because it just seems like every time any of these guys get the chance to talk about him, it's just so complimentary and so bright and bubbly.
Absolutely, they love Josh Allen, and it's, you know, because I'm coming from covering the Panthers before I just started covering the Bills. And you know, I saw a few quarterbacks come and go, and I've never seen a guy get talked about the way these players talk about Josh Allen. He is clearly a very good leader, someone they have a lot of respect for. And you can tell he's, like, doing handshakes at practice. He's very, you know, one of the guys, I guess. I hate to say that. But, you know, they all really like him, and he seems like a good teammate. But they're ready to go to battle for him, absolutely.
How has Dawson Knox done? He's a Nashville kid. He's a guy that seems like he's kind of found his groove. From your perspective and what you've watched, what has he done to play so well?
Yeah, he's always been a pretty good blocker. But this year what he's done is he's caught a touchdown in each of the last four games. So that's not
that'd
so
help.
Bad. I think one of the things that's been interesting is Josh clearly really trusting him. He's looking for him in all sorts of situations. There were a couple plays against the Chiefs where I was like, he should not have thrown that pass, but somehow Dawson Knox was open downfield to catch it. You know, there's a lot of big-time receivers on this team. Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders is playing very well. Cole Beasley is always a threat. So I think those guys take a lot of attention sometimes. And Dawson Knox really wasn't a receiving threat last year. So I think that's helped him get open sometimes, and I think that's part of the success. But he's also catching passes he wasn't catching last year. There were a ton of drops. But he's been very reliable, and he's absolutely going to be a factor going forward purely because Josh Allen is looking for him. And that's part of why the offense has been so successful.
And we're talking to Elena Getzenberg, NFL Nation, ESPN NFL Nation, Bills reporter. Elena, this defense is very interesting to me because they're so solid at all three levels. But, I mean, they're a top defense. I mean, are they really actually legit? Is this something that you could see them having as far as a title over the long haul?
Yeah, I think so. I think what's most impressive if you look back at the game against the Chiefs is they didn't have – arguably their best defensive player on the field in Matt Milano. He was out of that game because of a hamstring injury. They'll practice tomorrow, and we'll get an update on him, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him back on Monday. So I think that's part of why they played really well without him against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And I think this defense can be good in the long haul. They just need the big issue coming into the season was the pass rush.
Yeah.
So far, it's been pretty good. It hasn't been great. It's been pretty good. So I think if they can keep that going consistently and take that sort of to the next level, then this defense they could be number one like at the end of the season. But that's the biggest thing I'm watching is can that pass rush really make an impact against a really good offensive line.
And what about Gregory Rousseau? I mean, this is a guy, I'll be honest, I didn't really care for him as a prospect coming out of Miami. But then you see him in camp. He had a really good camp, and now here he is a part of the defense. What are your thoughts on him? Like, how much does this organization really put their stock in him as a guy, as a future pass rusher, a present and future, that is?
Yeah, you're not alone. It seems like a lot of people didn't like him. I thought he was okay. I don't, you know, there's I think feel like people had strong opinions about him, but he's been playing very well. I mean, there's the interception last week that, you know, that's what people pay attention to, but he's been having success in throughout. I mean, it's only five games in, but throughout the season so far, just in terms of making an impact on the quarterback, I've been pretty impressed by his abilities, because kind of like you said, you know, he also is coming off a year away from football. You know, you kind of expect, he opted out, you know, his final year of college, and you expect some rust when it comes to that sort of thing, but that hasn't been there, and they're very confident within the building when it comes to him, especially he's off to maybe a hotter start than anyone could have expected. But there's a reason they took him at 30, and they saw, you know, potential in him for the long haul, and so far, I mean, he is playing very well.
You've covered an assortment, you know, this isn't your first rodeo, we'll put it that way. So you've seen locker rooms, you've seen just the way teams come together and the way teams don't come together. What are your thoughts on just like the bond, the closeness of this locker room, although you're not able to get in there, but you're able to interact with the players?
Yeah, it's interesting because there's so many guys on this team who've been through it together, right? There's not that much change from last year. Of course, every year, you know, every offseason, players leave, players come, but this is a team that has spent, majority of them have been through it. They went through this last year. They know what a run looks like. And I think this is a group that, like, that experience is going to become helpful. After this Titans game, their schedule is, like, shockingly, like, I hate to say it, easy. It's very... They've got some teams that they should absolutely beat coming up. And I think that's going to really, like, they're ready for the long haul. The only concern I could see is they can't look too far down the road. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a close group. They all act like they like each other, which is, you know, what you'd expect. But you can tell this, to me, this team comes across differently. And I think going through a run like they did last year, I think that really brings a team together that, you know, you can't really make that up. You can't replicate that. And I think that that'll help in terms of they've spent a lot of time together. So it's definitely a close group, and they're pretty darn good too. So.
Is that Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs bond, is that really as close as they show, you know, on post-game interviews and things like that?
I mean, yeah, they're definitely close. They definitely have. They're very much so. They say they love each other, and like they're very close. I mean, I don't know if they spend months and months in the off season necessarily together in that sort of sense, but they're very close, and they have a good bond. And I think it's real. I'll say it's real, but they've only known each other for a year.
Right.
So that's all I'll also say that.
So you see them having that same type of, I guess a better question would be, you see them having that same type of interaction during practice, or even like in camp when you got to see them for the full practice. It was that same type of, you know, playful, hey, we're stepbrothers type of mindset. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They do all sorts of games during practice. They're like hanging, yes, all the time. But that's with Josh and like a lot of players. That's kind of his personality, I would say. But he and Steph are very close.
Gotcha. And last thing before we get you out of here, defensively, who is like that Josh Allen of the defense? Is it Tremaine Evans? Is it Hyde? Is it Poyer? Who would you categorize as that person that all the energy and everything emulates from defensively?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if they have one guy. Like I don't think of one Josh Allen comparable guy. I think if someone's close, it would be Tremaine Edmonds. But they need him. He's played well this year. They need him to play even better, especially, at, you know, he's in, at this point in his career. So if it's someone, I would say Tremaine Edmonds, but they have that safety duo, like you mentioned, Jordan Poyer, my guy, in the backfield. They're the captains of that defense, and Tremaine Edmonds is as well. But if I had to pick the vocal leaders on that defense, the veterans, I think I'd point to Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. They're kind of the spokespeople of that defense, and I think they give that group a lot of energy.
There you have it. Elena Getzenberg, her first appearance on Talking with TD. These two teams seem to play each other all the time, so chances are we'll have you on again. So I appreciate you coming on. Look forward to actually getting to meet you in person, right, at Nissan Stadium. So that'll be great. And, hey, safe travels coming here to Nashville.
Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. Take care. So that was Elena Getzenberg, ESPN NFL Nation Buffalo Bills reporter. Shout out to Elena for coming on, talking a little shop. We got Run TMC, as always, every week. Appreciate Chris Sanders coming on and giving his takes. And, hey, man, appreciate Elijah Campbell making this happen. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. Be sure to check out Whiteboard Wednesday on ESPN.com. Have a Derrick Henry feature coming out, too, so make sure you guys look for that. This is an interesting stat pack in there, so make sure you check that out. That'll be out on Monday, just before the game. Primetime football, here it is. Your Tennessee Titans, the Buffalo Bills. I am Teron Davenport signing off. Thanks for tuning in. God bless and good night.